And what's up, podcast people? This is Christopher Coleman here. And before this bonus track episode starts, I wanted to just quickly introduce it and tell you why it's being published so late. So late, you might say? Well, yeah, we recorded this Soundcast 6 way back at the end of March of 2019, and the editing process took me much longer than normal. So long, in fact, that it ran over into some of our newer episodes, and I didn't want to preempt those newer ones for this one. Hence, here we are in July. In any case, it's totally my fault for it being so late. Both Dane and Kristen came on and recorded and did their part. I just wasn't able to do mine fast enough. But having kind of listened to it again, I thought it would still be good to release it as a bonus track episode rather than not at all. The six stories we discuss are all composer-related, and the news is kind of dated, but still, I think you might enjoy the conversation around the news just the same. In any event, thank you for listening, and I hope you enjoy the episode. And what's up, podcast people and soundtrack geniuses around the globe? You're listening to The Soundcast, and on this podcast, we talk all things film, television, and video game music. I am Christopher Coleman, and joining me on this voluminous episode is...
Kristen Romanelli of Film Score Monthly Online.
I'm Dane Walker, composer, in parentheses.
Today is Sunday, March 31st, 2019, and this is the Soundcast 6, Volume 14, where we talk about six of the most compelling recent topics from the world of soundtracks.
You can find all episodes of the Soundcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher Radio, Radio Public, and Google Podcasts. You can send us your feedback to soundcast@tracksounds.com, or use our SpeakPipe widget on our site, or hit us up on Twitter at AudioSoundcast. Notice I left off Facebook as punishment for their treacherous ways. They may be back later.
Avengers and Facebook.
Well, welcome to you two. It's good to be talking with you. We've got six composer-centric stories to talk about today on Matrix Day. March 31st, 2019, 20 years ago, The Matrix, the movie debuted. Hopefully you've listened to our episode where we kind of talk about that film and Don Davis' score.
Man, I really wanted to be part of that. I love that movie.
But you boycotted us, so it's okay.
It was as if Trinity...
I didn't boycott you. It was as, I had something else happening.
That's the point. It's as if Trinity...
It's a girl cot.
That's right. Trinity chose not to show up. You know,
and then the whole movie falls apart if she doesn't show up.
That's right.
At that,
thankfully, we survived.
Place. Yeah, somehow, some kind of way. We missed you, but maybe you can join us in 2023 for the Matrix Reloaded and Revolutions 20th anniversary.
Do I have to?
Yes, you do. So today we'll be discussing six topics that, as I mentioned, are all composer centric. We're going to talk about Hans Zimmer being announced as the composer for Dune, Thomas Newman on the Sam Mendes film of 1917, Michael Abels scoring See You Yesterday, two ASCAP award winners, Pinar Toprak for the Shirley Walker Award and Michael Giacchino winning the Henry Mancini Award. That's one topic. And Junkie XL or Tom Holkenborg scoring the next Terminator movie called Terminator Dark Fate. And lastly, but not leastly, we're going to talk about Alan Menken earning another award, a Razzie Award. Scandalous. All right. If you don't know how this works, we have those six topics. We have 10 minutes per topic. Kristen is manning the alarm. When the alarm goes off, we have to stop and move on to the next topic. Unless, of course, we can bank up some extra minutes on a topic if we finish an earlier topic earlier than the 10 minutes. We bank up some of that extra time. They're about giving us about an hour long episode. So here we go with topic number one. Hans Zimmer is scoring Denis Villeneuve's Dune, which is coming, I think, next year. It was all over the internet a few weeks ago. Consequence of Sound had one of the first announcements and first news posts out there on it. The internet exploded and then imploded and then reloaded and got outmoded. How does that guy, how does that make you feel? Was this a smart decision by Denis Villeneuve and or the producer as a studio, whoever made that decision? Kristen, was that a smart move?
I think it was. This is something I totally saw coming since Blade Runner. Zimmer's probably Villeneuve's guy now. I wouldn't be surprised if someone like Ben Walfish came on toward the middle end of it to help out. Although I know that he said he's doing this all on his own. He never does anything all on his own. He's very much he's very much a collaborative worker. So we'll see.
But does he normally hide that if he is collaborating?
No, he doesn't hide it.
So I wonder why he would say that this time. Maybe you think he'll start that way and be like, need help.
if you look at his workload, the things that he's slated to be primary composer on, it's a lot. So I wouldn't be surprised unless it could be a fantasy dream project of his that he wants to hoard all for himself, perhaps. It is Dune. It's
sure.
You know,
that's big, man.
It is big.
That's huge.
Yeah. Yeah. And outside of Toto, I can't think of someone who's more suited to it. So
that's an interesting discussion.
Son of John Williams is in Toto.
True. Very true.
But I don't think he was in that Toto.
No, probably not.
He could have been. Because his son comes in later.
Yeah, he'd been a little kid.
Yeah.
Do you think it's a smart move, Dane?
I'm so psyched for it. I think he's going to do a great job. I can't wait to hear Hans do Dune. I think it's kind of the perfect story for him and his style.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, which style?
Any style.
Oh.
Yeah, any I think any of his styles. What style are you referring to that you
like? I can't hear him doing Crimson Tide style.
Oh, sure. Like the 90s Zimmer. Well, see, that's the funny thing, right? Like, because Dune has kind of been done that way. Wasn't Brian Tyler's score kind of that?
No, it was a big orchestral thing.
Children in Dune was like sweeping.
Yeah, but it was that epic 90s, you know, big percussive track, you know, kind of thing.
Sound like Crimson Tide, though.
Well, no, but, you know, Crimson Tide he can't do because it's Russian. So you can't do the Russian
or the Rock, which is similar but with more rocky,
right?
More guitars and
right
band sort of stuff, but it has that bass of Crimson Tide in there.
Yeah, I hear you. I understand what you're saying. I think I think current Hans Zimmer, post Batman Begins, can do a good Dune score. That's my take on it.
Something Interstellar by way of Blade Runner would be kind of
I think that's a great combination.
Oh, I can't see an Interstellar, so
wow, you're a weirdo.
No, I'm not.
How come? What don't you like about it?
Pipe organs.
You don't like the organs.
I love
pipe organs. In that context.
I love pipe organs. Pipe organs are awesome. One of my friends is probably one of the top 10 best organists in the world. I've heard him play many, many times and we've played together. But I don't know. I just did not like it in that score. And I'm not sure why entirely. But I've never gotten into the Interstellar score.
Huh. Wow. I doubt he'll be bringing in the pipe organs, maybe, but I would be surprised if he did that for Dune.
I wasn't thinking organs specifically, but
yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's grand, it's huge, and I those are two words I would have to hope the Dune score can be described as when he's all said and done with it.
Oh, man. Riding the sandworm? Yeah.
I think marketing-wise, it was probably smart. Got people talking about it. Sure, there are dozens of other people who could do it, but in terms of getting people buzzing about it.
I mean, wait, let's take a step back. What kind of story is Dune?
It's a space opera.
I know, but what kind of, it's not Star Wars. It's not a space opera like Star Wars. It's not
no,
fun.
But it has to do with, it's more about, you know, aristocracy and the trade of the spice and mm-hmm. team and becoming a
Messiah figure.
Yeah, a Messiah figure. Muad'Dib. Okay,
so of the composers, let's pick A-list composers that are around right now. Of those, who would you prefer to do it?
Well, I haven't actually finished my point yet.
Oh, sorry.
which is smart marketing-wise, but musically, it depends on what he does. Depends on what kind of score he does. If he does something like Inception or Dark Knight, I don't think folks are going to be super happy with that. Some will, because they really love that sound. But my hope and what I think he's going to do is going to be something somewhat different. Something that we haven't heard before, like he did with Dunkirk. Right, that was like something we haven't heard before. Now, I don't think it'll sound anything like Dunkirk, and I hope that it doesn't. But I think he will do something different if he's really investing so much of himself and his time in it. And I think he's a great choice, depending upon what he does.
Sure,
if he pulls something out of his bag that he's used before, then I'm not going to be so happy with it, and I'll be able to say, here's some other folks who could probably do. So that's what I was going to say. So your question was going to be, who else do we think could do it?
Well, just from the perspective of the type of story it is and what people are doing. I mean, any composer can try to do something, but in terms of the natural fit, like there's no doubt in my mind, a Michael Giacchino could score a Dune, or a, you know, Alan Silvestri could score a Dune,
John
or
Carter of Mars.
Well, there you go. But see, that's John awesome. Carter of Mars is tonally not the right tone for Dune.
Yeah, very different.
And then visually, look at Denis Villeneuve's pictures themselves, and like what do you picture up against that? And, you know, about the only person I could think of doing it would be Wendy Carlos. You know what I mean? Like in terms of, you know,
I think there's a lot of people who would go,
or Daft Punk with their Tron thing.
Yeah, maybe with a Joe Trapanese.
Yeah,
in tow.
M83.
You know, like the Oblivion kind of thing? Ooh.
Yeah.
That would be cool.
I expect it to be more exotic sounding, though, because that's one word that I use to describe Dune. It's very exotic.
Yes.
And so that means some weird dedukes being manipulated in weird ways. And
Michael Dann is the guy for that.
It's true.
It would be a nice pick for it, too, really, depending on what they're doing.
Yeah. It'd be interesting to see that first trailer to see the vibe of it all. Because Blade Runner 2049, I don't think it's going to look like that. So I'm very curious. I mean, Deakins on this one? I hope he is. I'm not sure that he is. But I hope Roger Deakins is shooting it. I mean, that'll give us some insight. But
can you imagine Roger Deakins with that nice shot of the worm shooting out of the sand?
Oh, my God.
Deakins shooting anything.
Krista just Deakins went to her happy place.
Muad'Dib.
Deakins shooting anything is pretty exciting. So I thought it was a great marketing move. I don't know if that's why they did it. I don't know if they sold a lot of Blade Runner 2049 soundtracks because of the names. I'm not sure. I certainly wouldn't be sad if a Benjamin Wallfisch got involved, especially given the previews of Shazam that we've heard. I don't think it'll sound anything like that either, but, you know.
I'm seeing that tomorrow.
Nice.
Let's see.
Yeah, you've heard the clips, though, or the tracks, right?
No, I'm going in blind.
Oh, you're in for a treat. You're in for a treat.
10 million killed, 300 billion the cost, civilian death and disease make 40 million the loss. All of these wars, we need to stop it, but for now, World War One, this is the topic. The Great War was supposed to end all wars. But
all right, let's move on to topic number two, which is another composer announcement. That one Thomas Newman is on Sam Mendes' next project entitled 1917. Obviously, World War One set. Got a huge amount of stars signing up to be cast. Roger Deakins is on this film, shooting this film. They've got great talent behind the camera. Productions, all it's looking and sounding like it's going to be fantastic. What do you guys think? Thomas Newman isn't the first name that comes to my mind when I think of World War One. But what do you think? What kind of score do you think he's going to bring us this time, Dane?
Thomas Newman's kind of the guy I could see coming to mind for that era, to be honest. Just his string writing alone, I can see plunging over the... I can think of a couple of scores of his where I could feel like I'm coming over the trenches and running across the poppy fields. Yeah, I don't know. I think this is a great opportunity for him. I think he could bring his creativity to it. Might get his best score since Little Women, maybe. I don't know. You know?
That's saying a lot, bro.
I know. But, you know, mix.
Man, Little Women's pretty good.
That's my favorite of his scores.
Phenomenal. It's at the top of the list. But if you mixed Bridge of Spies with Road to Perdition, that might be a damn good score.
Yeah.
I'd be happy about that. Yep. I'd buy it.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed. What about you, Kristen?
Hey, Thomas Newman plus Sam Mendes is pretty good.
Usually good stuff.
Yeah, yeah. That's usually pretty good stuff. War drama, that's a tricky one. But I feel like if he went pretty Road of Perdition-y, I would be pretty happy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
That may be my second favorite score of his.
Mm-hmm.
It's up there. It's up there.
Where do you put Shawshank?
It's in the top five.
Okay.
It's in top five. I don't think we'll get anything as delightful as Little Women. That would be very weird for a World War One score. But if we can get anything in that quality level of writing. Now, he did do The Good German, which was kind of pastiche, you know, of that era. But he did show he could write music of different eras. That's the thing. When I don't think of Thomas Newman's type of writing over World War One kind of stuff. I guess scenarios, war, you know, that just doesn't come to my mind unless it's being played like Ironic Beauty or something like that.
Right, where
it's
right. Like exactly.
Really horrible stuff with beautiful music underscoring right. It. Then in that way, yes. Although, I mean, he's scoring Tolkien, which is set in that same period of time. So that could give us a clue as to what he's going to do because Tolkien is... That's his era. That's his age, mm-hmm. And was in World War One. So maybe that's going to give us a clue. Which that comes out in May, or is it April? Tolkien.
I'm not sure.
I think it's May. So we'll find out about that pretty soon, and that might give us a clue as to where he's going.
Well, if I think about another very beautiful string-forward composer. It would be Dario Marianelli, he did Atonement, which had some very harrowing war
that's true
to it.
So, that's true.
I feel like it could be like a really, really nice, very beautiful fit.
It could be. It could be.
He can probably break our hearts with this. So.
Oh, probably so.
We'll see.
Probably so. maybe it'll get him an Oscar. Just maybe. Can we start the rumor now? Can we start weeping for him now? We'll be the first to be like, man, Thomas Newman should have gotten this Oscar. Wait, that doesn't come out this year, does it? I don't think it does.
1917?
Yeah, let me see. Must not, because they're, no, it's not going to come out this year because they're just getting the actors on board.
They're just going to have, like, Carigliano come out of nowhere.
Oh, wait, December 25th. Are you kidding me? It's coming out this December.
I think it's to be...
That is a classic Newman gets nominated and doesn't win release date.
The movie's supposed to take place over a period of one day.
Yeah.
So...
It must be the Battle of the Somme. I mean, what else can it be?
Right.
It could be anything, actually.
Made me think of... I put Dunkirk in my notes here, and that is what made me think of Dunkirk. Mm-hmm. So I'm... kind of hoping they don't have a time gimmick.
A Dunkirkian score.
A time gimmick that they try to bash into our heads. But
yeah, I would be a little disappointed if they went that route. Although it seems to have been very popular with a lot of people. I still haven't rewatched that movie.
Sure.
Dunkirk?
Yeah.
I've never seen it since the first time I saw it.
Yeah.
And I loved it.
I've seen most of Nolan's movies many, many, many times. All right. Any other thoughts about Thomas Newman, 1917?
I really think it's a great pick. I think it's going to be really beautiful.
I think it could be. I really do. I mean, he's got a lot of the old crew back together. Mm-hmm. He's got this production designer, Dennis Gassner, from who did Road to Perdition. He's got costume designer Jacqueline Duren from Anna Karenina and Darkest Hour. Anna Karenina, what a beautiful, beautifully shot costume film and score. Very interesting movie. Did you guys see Anna Karenina?
Yes.
That was a mind-blowing film.
Mm-hmm. Really? I need to see it then.
Yeah. Yeah. It didn't get any love at all, but very interestingly put together.
It's very uncomfortable to watch.
Yeah. Yeah. I like the, you know, stage to real life transition that they did. Mm-hmm. That part was really, really inventive. But agreed, tough to watch. Okay. How much time do we have left?
2 minutes, 55 seconds.
Call it 3 minutes. All right. We're going to move on to topic number 3, which is composer Michael Abels, who's currently making waves with his original score for Jordan Peele's Us.
Yeah.
Has another project that's coming super soon, this May, called See You Yesterday, a film by Stephen Bristol. It is a feature film that will debut apparently at Tribeca this year in May, based on a short film that Stephen Bristol did in 2017. It's also rumored to be released on Netflix. What do you all think of Michael Abels coming into his own with his third project now already? Already with his third project in See You Yesterday. Kristen?
Well, third film project. He's been a working classical composer and opera writer for years and years. But I think the fact that he's crossed into this new medium is so exciting. And I've wanted more of his music ever since Get Out. Get Out was just so sensational. And for me, it was a crime that he wasn't nominated for that. And then a couple years later, we now have Us, which again was really fantastic, chilling work. And with the thing, what he did with I Got Five on it in that soundtrack is like, I'm never going to be able to hear that song the same again. Mm. Absolutely great point of view and great way of presenting this the story to us. I love his musical point of view. And to see the news that he's going to have another score is just so exciting for me, because I've been starving. I feel like ever since Get Out, I was like, I had that like one taste of a Michael Abel score, and I don't know when I'm going to get another. So now it's like the buffet is open.
Well, the premise of the film sounds really interesting. Mm-hmm. It's about two Brooklyn teenage science prodigies who build a makeshift build makeshift time machines so that they can go back in time and rescue one of their brothers from being wrongfully killed by a police officer.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like it would be like an urban sci-fi sort of premise. And
so it sounds like.
That in itself is exciting and interesting. Yeah. But to hear his musical take on something like that and, you know, what sort of sounds that he'll come up with, I'm so eager to get my ears on it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a rich opportunity to do something really creative. Whenever you got time travel, you can do some cool stuff with the score if you so choose. What do you think, Dane?
I'm glad that he's getting more opportunities. It seems like the perfect project for him. And I just think, you know, having heard him interviewed about Get Out and hearing the things about Us, I mean, the one sad thing for me is, because of those two films, I'll never see his or hear his scores in context, because I just don't do scores that make me pee in my pants. But but this one I might actually see. This might work for me. I might get to hear a Michael Abel score in context. But yeah, so I'm excited for him. I think it's great. He's a great composer, right? Mm-hmm. He's coming to the table with all of the skill set needed, and it's about time he started doing, you know, more stuff. I think one of the beautiful things about him is that he's coming with an original voice. He's not coming with an imitative voice.
Right. So, he's not coming from inside the Hollywood film scoring.
Yeah, he's a composer's composer entering the film world. And that produces fresh air. Mm-hmm. It's like somebody, hey, someone open the door, you know, leave it open for a while. It's hot in here, yeah. I'm glad he's getting more opportunities, and I hope there are more to come.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also really like that he's also a music educator. I think he's the music director for a private school. Mm-hmm. And I think having that perspective somebody with that point of view can explain his work really well and tell us, you know, the meaning and story behind the music. And that's something that I really love as, someone who talks to composers.
Sure.
So it feels more concrete for him, I suppose.
I think it probably gives him the ability to understand the audience much better. You know what I mean? If you're the kind of composer that's stuck in your studio for hours on end and you don't have that moment to get out and you're not spending time with, you know, 20 students on a regular basis or, you know, something of that nature, you're not touching the audience, and it's hard to know, like, how does my musical voice impact that audience?
Well, the fact that he works with students too, and this next movie is going to be about a couple of, you know, school age, you know, teenagers. I think that could be really special.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep. And following on the heels of Black Panther, I think you've got you've opened up a new audience a little bit. Mm-hmm. That was probably there, but they just didn't have anything to go see that they could relate to.
Spider-Verse too.
Yeah, very true.
What's the one that's out right now with the kid and the aliens and he discovers the gun? Have you seen the trailers for this? It looks amazing.
Kid Alien.
I saw one last year that fits that description.
And his brother's a convict. And he like ends up, he follows his brother and then like the gang beats up the brother and then he whips out this gun, this alien gun no one's ever seen before, fires it. Was that last year?
That was from last year, yeah. Yep. It's out on home video now.
Is it?
I can't.
And there's another one that's out. They keep talking about it. The world, you know, it looks like Attack the Block, or it has the same concept as Attack the Block, maybe. But aliens.
That's a great movie.
Aliens taking over the world, but yeah. I can't remember.
Yeah, the one you were first describing sounds like something from last year, but I can't remember the title right now.
Okay. Maybe I merged the two movies, this new one coming out and the one last year. I don't know, but
It doesn't sound like anything, doesn't sound familiar to me for something for this year.
Okay.
But it could be. I just may not have seen it.
Yeah.
All right. How much time do we have?
We have 5 minutes.
Wow. So we've banked 8 minutes.
That had the three.
Oh, okay. So we had 2 minutes left, but you added the three, so we have 5 minutes in total.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Got it. All right. I'll let you do that math then. We'll go on to topic number 4, which is two really special awards being handed out this year at the, I guess, the ASCAP Awards. Mm-hmm. Michael Giacchino is receiving the Henry Mancini Award, and Pinar Toprak is being honored with the Shirley Walker Award at this year's ASCAP Awards, which I think happened in May 15th, I believe it is. So firstly, Michael Giacchino is getting the Henry Mancini Award, which by their definition, it's presented to composers for outstanding achievements and contributions to the world of film and television music. Some past recipients include Hans Zimmer, Quincy Jones, Randy Newman, Bruce Broughton, Angela Badalamenti, Carter Burwell, John Powell, and Craig Armstrong. Let's talk about that award first, and then we'll talk about Pinar Toprak. What do you guys think? You've got some legends in there, mm-hmm. in terms of past recipients.
Yeah, I had mistakenly thought of this as a Lifetime Achievement Award. Like, as long as I've been reading about this particular award, I always made that association for some reason. And then I read it.
Kind of is.
Yeah, but I read it with Michael Giacchino's name. And I'm like, well, on one hand, yeah. On the other hand, he's only 51, but he's done so much. So
it's yeah. His production level has been off the charts. I mean, but he's probably like midway through his career, probably.
Yeah, I mean, he's been working forever, like since, what, late 90s?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. So. Yeah. And he's produced a ton. So some interesting winners in the past. Craig Armstrong is one that stands out to me because he's never been like doing a ton of stuff. He seemed to be really popular in the late 90s, early 2000s, mm-hmm. But not so much recently that I recall. That's an interesting one.
I suppose he was more popular with his Baz Luhrmann work. Mm-hmm. And he also did a lot of record production. He did a lot of work with Massive Attack.
Yeah. It stands out when I look at that list of names. Like,
But yeah, that particular year, I'm not sure if that was that the Great Gatsby year? I'm not sure.
Oh, I'm not sure. So is this just, this is not an award based on what they've done over their career, but just over the last year?
No. It is okay. A cumulative thing, but it is odd timing for Craig Armstrong, I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Dane, what are your thoughts?
I mean, considering the kind of work that Giacchino's done, having his name associated with Henry Mancini seems completely appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
So, just look at Mancini's jazz work and consider Incredibles 2 and other things he's done. Consider mm-hmm. Mancini's emotional writing, you know.
Yeah.
I think that Breakfast at Tiffany's, you know, that kind of thing.
I was just thinking of Moon River.
Yeah, totally. Love Moon River. Mm-hmm. I'm going to cry now just thinking about it. Like, give me a minute. I need a minute. Just hang on. Okay. Yeah. So I think that, you know, Giacchino certainly deserves the award. If we're just associating it with name only, I think he's deserved it. He's done that level of work.
Yeah.
There are no jazz recordings, though, that say, you know, Giacchino and his orchestra, of which I have several LPs in my cabinet of Mancini and his orchestra. So, you know, I think Giacchino's a little behind Mancini's achievements.
I was just thinking, has he done any concert works? I'm not too familiar.
I don't think so.
I think that would be a really cool step for him.
Oh, I'm sure it's going to happen.
Isn't there a solo piano album that just came out that had the pianist asked all the film composers to write solo piano works that were concert works?
Jocelyn Pook?
Yes.
Jocelyn Pook, the piano.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure he did one for her. So he has done really some concert stuff.
There was a cello album about that.
Yeah. And I know at the end of Medal of Honor, he had a concert choral piece that's there. It's about a bird or something, I feel like.
The Nightingale, something.
Yeah. So he's done concert work type stuff. I don't know if he's had time to do it recently, other than like suites of his stuff.
Yeah,
I don't know that he's had...
I'm sure he will. Well, I'm not sure, but I bet he will. I bet he will. He just stays so busy with film stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Why deviate? I guess just to keep it fresh.
I guess so. I mean, Danny Elfman, he's went off and did concert work when he did Serenade Schizophrenia, and now recently he has another. And I think Hans Zimmer was just commissioned for something with the BBC.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I know, it's interesting to hear them outside of having to score against someone against else's picture. Story, I guess.
Yeah.
I think that's what I was thinking of, because I think I saw an interview with Giacchino talking about writing for the piano, and he was like, it is the scariest thing to write for nothing. Right? Mm. Like you know, when you're doing visual, it's like there's a story here controlling what I do. There's a director standing over me. But when somebody says to you, I need you to write this, you're going to write a piano sonata for me. It's like, what? You know, it's all open-ended, and it gets really, really hard.
We ran an interview with John Powell, and he was talking about his concert piece and how he had to find a story to write about.
Because his mind just works that way, you know.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, congrats to him on that. That's certainly a wonderful honor. And another wonderful honor is being bestowed upon Pinar Toprak. She's winning or being bestowed with the ASCAP Shirley Walker Award. And this is for those whose achievements have contributed to the diversity of film and television music. Shirley Walker was one of the first prominent female composers working in film and television and is remembered as a pioneer for women in the film industry. Previous recipients include Wendy Melvoin. She was with Prince and Lisa Coleman. So Wendy and Lisa.
Wendy and Lisa.
that's the more recognizable name. Deborah Lurie and Jermaine Franco. So now Pinar Toprak's going to be added to that list. What do you guys think about that?
It's extremely fitting. It's been a huge year for Pinar, and big props to her for following in Shirley's footsteps, especially in a superhero case. So, yeah, excellent choice, guys.
Now, I guess, is it for this year, last year? They don't really talk about the time frame.
I think it's like the other award,
it's
right?
Fluid.
Yeah, between whatever other award.
It's not necessarily for one achievement. It's for a,
okay.
I mean, Jermaine Franco, when she won it, it was right after she had done work on Coco. But she had been working, assisting John Powell before that. And she's working with John Debney as well. And then her first lead composer project, I think, was Tag last year, and she has another one coming out next month. Yeah.
And so she'll be receiving her award as well on May 15th at the ASCAP Awards. So I guess it's called the ASCAP Screen Music Awards,
yep.
Which is great. It's not televised, but usually there's tweets and posts and pictures and things that hit social media.
I'm told they have delicious food.
That's so funny. All of my friends that go always say that.
Yeah.
They always talk about the food.
Whenever I write a little news blurb for FSM on it, one of the guys, it's usually Tim Curran. He goes in and he'll do a couple sentences about the food.
The food is always important. Gotta have good food at these things. I mean, everything else can be great, but if your food's bad, you're gonna hear about it. You're gonna hear about it. At least you know the music's great. All right. I think we're gonna move on to number five. How much time do we have?
We have 4 minutes and 45 seconds.
Okay. All right. We're doing good.
Yeah.
I wonder if this might eat a bunch of it up. I will write you. Away. I will have to live this way. Kokonitatesh katanai were so terminated, terminated. I need to tell you the days. Because topic number five is Junkie XL / Tom Hulkenberg has been announced as the composer for the next Terminator movie, Terminator Dark Fate. Can we change it from the Terminator to Interminable?
I didn't even know this movie was happening.
I didn't either.
Now you know.
It's a movie, Terminator, right? It's not it, like
it's a movie.
A limited series.
Nope. It's being directed, I believe, by Tim Miller of Deadpool fame. Old Cameron is producing. So there you have it. It's
all right.
Paramount Skydance, and it's featuring again Linda Hamilton's back.
Oh, nice.
Schwarzenegger is back. You got a couple of new people. Yeah, he is Bach. He told you he'd be back and back and back and back.
And this one, he has new knees.
No, seriously, hasn't Skynet killed us all yet?
I think this goes back to it's post T2, like it's eliminating everything that's come after T2.
So it's eliminating
nicely three. Done.
Although I did like that they decided to let the world end in three.
That movie's kind of that's when they actually launched the nukes.
Yes,
yeah. Right. And three, yeah.
And then they're in the army base. Cave thing, and it's clear that Nick Stahl and Claire Danes? I can't remember.
Yeah,
Claire Danes are the Adam and Eve of the future.
Gotcha.
And that's where it's all going to begin.
That was Nick Stahl?
Yeah.
I don't even know who Nick Stahl is. I remember the guy, but I don't. Did he do anything after that?
Yeah, Sin City.
Sin City. Anything else?
No, then he kind of went missing. Something happened in there.
Oh, okay. So what do you guys think about Junkie XL doing Terminator Dark Fate, Dane?
I think Tom Hulkenberg is the perfect person to score Terminator Dark Fate, Chris.
The perfect person?
I do. I think so.
Hmm. You would choose no one over him.
Well, I mean, if Brad Fidel was working, I would choose him.
Okay.
Fair point, right? Right? If Jerry Goldsmith was alive, I would choose him. You know?
But no one else alive or working in the industry.
I don't know. I mean, I think Tom Hulkenberg does a great job, Mad Max Fury Road being evidence of it, with dystopian, you know, stuff. And then considering he did the Deadpools, so he's worked with this director before. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think this is right up his alley. He's going to knock this out of the park.
Did he do? He didn't do the second Deadpool, did he?
No, I don't think he did. Bates did.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
I'm sorry. Did I say Deadpools with an S on the end?
I thought you did.
I probably did. Yes.
I may have misheard you.
No, you didn't. I said Deadpools.
And I didn't think about it until.
And I'm a dead fool. Like,
And what do you think about this news, Kristen?
I think this is completely on brand for him. Yeah.
It's not surprising, is it?
No, it's completely unsurprising. If you told me there was suddenly a Terminator movie and it was being scored by Tom Hulkenborg, I would be like, that sounds about right.
Yep.
He's had a really good past couple of films, so it'll be interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm hoping for something that has a little more diversity, a little more, a few more facets to it than some of his other things. So, you know, Alita, I think, had some dimension to it, which I really liked. Mm-hmm. But I'd be surprised if we got anything like that. I mean, I have no idea what it's about other than.
Yeah. I'm wondering how much of that can you get with a Terminator movie?
Not much. Although I kind of like Terminator Salvation and Danny Elfman's score. I know everyone hates it.
I like that score too.
But the movie too, I kind of enjoy the movie.
I can't remember much of the movie.
With Christian Bale and Sam Worthington.
Right.
I didn't see it.
Oh, you didn't see it?
No, the last Terminator movie I saw was
Terminator 3.
Oh, okay.
You didn't see the one with Khaleesi was Sarah Connor?
That was the worst.
The one with Khaleesi and Sarah Connor?
Oh,
I did man, see. That. I did see the TV show with Summer Glau.
That was great.
Yeah.
That was a great show.
Did Bear McCreary do that score?
Yes.
Yes, he did.
He would be a good Terminator composer.
Yes, he would. He would. He absolutely would. Mm. Yeah, that was a great show. I don't know why they killed it. I don't know. But
because Fox makes terrible decisions when it comes to good TV shows.
True.
True.
And they ended on such a cliffhanger. I still remember it to this day.
They did the same thing to Almost Human. Oh, God, what is beyond the wall?
I couldn't tell you. But I bet he will use Brad Fidel's theme. I mean, won't be a surprise.
That's kind but of a given.
Yeah, I think it will be synthy and dark and cold and depressing, which will probably fit the film like a glove. It'll probably be a perfect fit, you know. But I guess, you know, we've come so far now is that he could do a Brad Fidel score using those same synths if you wanted, and it'd be wildly successful and accepted, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And if he did that, I'd say, okay, all right, I'll take it.
Yep.
I'll take it.
Absolutely. Especially if Conrad Pope's in there with him.
Yeah, that'll.
That's been a fruitful partnership.
It certainly has. I'm just trying to look up the release date of it, but I don't see it in this particular article.
December 21st.
Oh, November 1st. November 1st. So it's coming this year.
Ooh, it's a Thanksgiving movie.
Yeah. It's amazing. Huh? they've been flying under the radar for
That's
quite a
so
while.
That's so weird. That feels like a summer movie, a summer or February movie.
Oh, yeah. Well, February, you can get some good ones these days.
Sometimes, if it's Black Panther or a Lego movie.
Yep.
Or sure Captain Marvel.
Captain Marvel was a March movie.
March?
Barely.
But it was still a March movie.
March is March.
Okay.
Alita, I like Alita. I'd say it's a good movie. Barely. But it's a good movie.
I like
it. The score was amazing.
An awful lot. I really wish the nurse had more to her because I liked her.
Jennifer Connelly's character?
No.
She did nothing.
She did nothing. And I mean, every time she was on screen, I'm like, you're radiating kindness. I wish you had more to do in this movie.
No, they did not do much with her at all. In fact, until just now, I'd forgotten completely about
her. Exactly. See?
Yeah. Yes. Maybe the sequel would have given her more, but I doubt we're going to see that sequel.
Yeah.
All right. Time?
6 minutes, 30 seconds.
Wow. We're setting records here.
I think this is because there's only like three of us instead of like four.
Yeah, we've done it with just three before.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think I've done it with two, to be honest. Maybe.
Maybe. Yes, you and I did a soundtrack six.
I thought we had.
Yeah. Oh,
that's right. I was boycotting you then, too.
You're girl-cotting us. Don't girl-cot us.
High times, hard times. Sometimes the living is sweet. And sometimes there's nothing to eat. But I always land on my feet. So then there's dry times. I wait for high times all day. I put on my best and I stick out my chest. And I'm off to the races again.
Topic six is an interesting one, and that is that one composer, well awarded in almost every conceivable award show.
So much so that they had to change the categories in the Academy Awards.
Yes. One Alan Menken has received yet another award. This time, he received a Razzie.
So do you put the Razzie at beginning of the award? Like it's a regat? Now you're a regat? Or is it an egotter?
A regat?
I don't know if they want to do that.
Mm. But I have a question. So this was awarded to him back in the early 1990s, correct?
I guess that's the case, but
why is it coming up now?
I don't know.
Was this something that he recently found out that he won this honor and he wanted to have it for his
It's a good question. Shelf? So Soundtrack Fest posted this news article. So he won it for a 1992 Worst Song Razzie, the song for High Times and Hard Times from the movie Newsies.
High Times, Hard Times.
So he won it for that song from 1992, but apparently he just got the award. And I looked at the Razzie site, and it's like a lead story on their site. So it must have just now happened.
Sent it to him.
It must be the case.
Confused.
I don't know why, and it's not explained as to why.
Maybe we've all gone back to 1992 and we don't know it.
Oh, I got some things to do. Got some investments to make and things to do. So it's an odd thing, but his acceptance of it, which I'm going to probably play some of the sound of it right now, is really, really funny. And he's such a good sport about it. The video, which I'll link in the notes, you can see him accept the award and put it right up in his little awards chest with all of his Grammys and Oscars and Emmys and
whatever. Man, I love this stupid song, though. Like, it's
yeah, it's not the worst song I've ever heard.
It's catchy. It's supposed to be kind of like a semi-filthy vaudeville song. It's, you know, it's
when I hear it,
cute.
It sounds like Les Poissons, which I'm like, that's the only faux pas. But see, I didn't realize it was 1992.
Yeah.
When did Little Mermaid come out? In 89?
89, I think.
89. So it's 3 years after that. And mm-hmm. I mean, same structure, same, mm-hmm. just like.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So when did Newsies come out? 92.
92.
92, yeah.
So when did Beauty and the Beast come out?
91 or 90. 90 or 91.
So you guys know Santa Fe, are you there? That little line in Newsies yeah. is totally happening in Beauty and the Beast. You know it's in there. Have you, I've heard it 1,000 times. You know what I'm talking mm-hmm. about? Like when the beast is transforming and it's like going through that little beautiful
oh my
musical
God,
suite.
I just got it. When all the lights like burst
yeah.
out of him.
And it goes, doo doo doo. Yeah. And you're like, and now because of Newsies, every time it happens, because I actually like the original Beauty and the Beast score as opposed to the new one, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, which is mm-hmm. still the same, but I, for some reason, the old one was better. And mm-hmm. yeah, and I, every time now I just go, Santa Fe, the, are
I'm
you
not going
there?
To be able to unhear that.
You know,
that
right?
That's the beast motif or someone's
exactly.
motif because they use it all the time.
And then yeah. Christian, the and then Batman sings it on the back of a cart or a horse or
Christian
something.
Bale just like, trying to belt it, but he's struggling so much. Poor 18-year-old Christian Bale.
A really good friend of mine's son just played Jack in a production, and I asked him if Santa Fe was there, and he wrote back and he said, I got no answer. I'm sorry, I'm the only one laughing.
This whole thing has made me want to watch Newsies again. I love that stupid union organizing
this?
Musical.
I don't know. I don't know that I liked that song on the Newsies.
I don't know why they picked. I was trying to find what else was nominated.
It's just like a random little filler song that Anne Margaret sings in the middle
yeah,
of it.
It seems so random to pick that
it's
one.
It's
like,
not even,
the worst song of the year. Like, what?
It's not even a major part of the movie, so I'm not even sure why. Like, there are worse songs within the same movie.
I believe it. Yeah, it just seems very, very random. I couldn't find the nominees to see what else was nominated along with it. So it's just like, oh, yeah, we think your song sucks. Here's an award. It's just what?
Do you have the nominations pulled up?
No, I tried to find them. I couldn't.
Oh, it's so old. The internet didn't exist yet.
Well, the Razzies are like almost 40 years old, yeah. which is pretty wild, which I had really didn't know. But I, you know what? I mean,
okay. 13th Golden Raspberry Awards.
Trim their awards way down. Oh, yeah. Okay, here it is.
Book of Days from Far and Away. Music by Enya. Lyrics by Roma Ryan.
Oh.
And Queen of the Night from The Bodyguard.
And they gave it to Alan Menken? Come on. That's kind of
one day, one night, one moment. Da 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 da. Oh wait, that's from Titanic. No, it's not. It's from Far and Away. Wait, it's from Titanic. Oh, I'm sorry.
Similar, very similar. Well, I liked the Enya song well enough.
Oh yeah, that was a great song. Actually, I loved Enya. I still love
what
Enya.
What was the other one?
And you come back to us.
Queen of the Night from The Bodyguards, Whitney Houston.
Oh, Queen of the Night.
It was the song on the album that wasn't I'll Always Love You.
Was it
written by Dolly Parton.
Oh, that's right. Is it an up-tempo, upbeat song? Or was it a ballad? Kristen, do you know?
Yeah, it was like a dance.
Okay.
Got it.
Yeah.
Queen of the night. Da-na-na-na. Oh, no. I'm sure that's not.
I hope it. That doesn't sound like Whitney Houston.
Me trying to sound like Whitney Houston.
You need to insert it in here.
Okay. If I guess it's available.
Yeah. I mean, it's on the Bodyguard soundtrack.
I've never seen The Bodyguard. It's one of my, what do you call those?
It was
this Hall of Shame sort of thing.
This was,
no, it's not.
The album to have in Portsmouth. Everybody Middle School that. When I was in sixth grade.
Oh, absolutely.
And I will always love you.
Yeah, that one.
Was
all right.
Yeah. We have now trailed so far off of Alan Menken.
Oh my god. Razzie Award. And we have like 7.5 minutes.
I just want to say that I would be honored to win a Razzie Award. You know what I mean?
Well,
like
Halle,
it's not an insult. It's
yeah,
like
Halle Berry went and received her award in person.
Yeah.
I mean, to get a Razzie Award means you've arrived. You know, people are paying attention to you.
I mean, it's funny that just that the Razzies have gotten so much attention over all these years. I mean, it's not like there's some official anything.
Oh, and this song. This isn't a bad song. This is a great song.
Well, we can't hear it, so we don't know what you're talking about.
I'm trying to imagine what it is based on her mouthing it's, the words.
It must be the queen of the night or whatever she's talking about.
Queen of the damned. Okay, then.
She's taking notes on it, I guess.
But it's lit there, so she doesn't know how to take notes in the light. Oh, there we go.
This is the song?
Yeah.
Oh, that's not a good song.
It's not a terrible song.
It's
just
it's a worse
song.
It's worse than Alan Menken's song. I mean, that is. Oh no. That is very 90s, though. That is super,
so
super
90s.
Terry Lewis, Jimmy Jam 90s. I bet they produced that song. I'd bet a lot of money they produced that song.
Peak middle school dance. Like,
I'm going to look it up because we have time. I bet you they produced that song. They might have produced that whole album. Where's my cursor? What was the name of it? Queen of the Damned?
Queen of the Night. Queen of the Damned is
I love that I got that
terrible
in there.
adaptation of an Anne Rice novel.
Oh, okay. Song. Well, there's a video. I don't know if I can watch that. in the Houston, recorded release format length, songwriters. Oh, I was wrong. It was the other power duo, L.A. Reid and Babyface.
Babyface.
Oh, Babyface.
It was the other power duo.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's going to do it.
All right.
We hit our six topics. We've got time to spare. So you all enjoy that extra time. Go and have a Michelob Light or something.
That'd be very 90s of you.
Yeah. I don't know why that came to mind.
We'll pretend that my seltzer is clearly Canadian.
Weekends are made for Michelob. Any of you who remember that slogan, you're old.
Hey, I just remember Welcome to Miller Time.
Yep, that was around that same time. Dane, where can people find and follow you?
Hey, you can go on the internet and go to danewalkermusic.com. I really need to update that website. I'll do that sometime. I'll make it worth your while to visit. You can go to Maestro Dane at Twitter and you can tweet me. And you can go to SoundCloud, Dane Walker Music, YouTube, Dane Walker Music. Put Dane and Walker and Music together and you'll find me.
All right. And Kristen, where can people find and follow you?
The easiest way to find me is on Twitter at KB for now. That's KBFORNOW. You can find Films Come Monthly online at fsmonlinemag.com Also on Twitter at FSM Online Mag. We have Pinar Toprak on the cover, as well as Michael Abels. It's a Marvel Us cover.
Not my pun.
John Kaplan made me do that.
Oh my goodness.
We also talked to Cine Concerts about their Rudy Live, which is pretty exciting.
Rudy.
Yep.
Great score. Yep. I'd love to hear that live.
That'd
be fantastic.
It's a classic for sure.
I saw pictures from the concert last night.
Oh yeah,
They had the actual Rudy Rüdiger there. They had Jerry Goldsmith's wife there.
They had Sean Astin there.
Yep.
Nice. That sounds like a great time.
And they had some like actual score pages out for people to see.
Oh.
When they came in the lobby, they had like artifacts from the recording.
Nice. Well,
anyway,
way to make a full experience.
Yeah,
out of it.
Good time. They're going to be doing a concert in Indiana next, so you know that's coming up.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yep, that's coming up later this year.
Are they
going to
do it in Notre Dame?
No, it's some other place in Indiana.
Is it in Fort Wayne though?
Maybe.
Yeah, that would make sense to me. It's kind of right outside.
Yeah.
I can't believe they're not doing it right under the touchdown Jesus.
Well, it's closer than L.A. They've had some really good concerts at that Microsoft whatever place of late. Well, you can find and follow us on the internet. You can subscribe to the podcast, Soundcast, wherever you subscribe to podcasts. You'll probably find us there. You can send us some feedback by email to soundcast@tracksounds.com. Leave us a voicemail. Let us know what you thought about any one or all of these stories on our SpeakPipe widget on our site at thesoundcast.com. Or hit us up on Twitter at AudioSoundcast, or you can find and follow me on Twitter at C. Coleman. That's going to wrap up Volume 14 of the Soundcast 6. Thank you so much for listening. And until our next episode, we want to say konnichiwa. Not until there's something better that comes out.
Well, the accordion blast was pretty cool from the Matrix there.